Emily Wright.
Hi, Sam McClary. And
I wish we had sort of drums or something for effects, but for the first time, and maybe the last. Hello, Damien Wild.
Good morning, Sam. Good morning, Emily. This is a highlight.
It's not the morning either, but we'll let you off for that one. It's gone midday.
Oh, yes.
But it feels like the morning. We're here at MIPIM UK. It's day one of MIPIM UK. It's probably day two by the time you guys are hearing this, but... I thought you were going to say
it's going to be day two by the time we finish recording, and I was like, well, I've got things to do.
It may be day two. But the morning, anyway, has started off quite tech-heavy, hasn't it?
It has. It was, it started off with your I have to mention it, your excellent Rewire event.
Why, thank you.
Which was brilliant, very inspiring. And then, we had there was a tech session on the transformation of the agent, transformation of the surveyor. But before that, you had a chat, didn't you, to Tim from The Economist.
I did. And we were talking a
little
bit.
I say Tim like he's an old friend of mine.
Well, he spoke very highly of you. I just managed to grab Tim, who was here doing a keynote speech, which hopefully we'll have a few little highlights from for you. But I also managed to... back him into a corner with his Brompton, which did need a bit of a clean, I must say. But and we talked a little bit about his new book and how tech has played a role in the evolution of this world of ours. And he talked a little bit about that, and you can hear that now.
My name is Tim Harford. I'm a Financial Times columnist, and I'm the author of 50 Things That Made the Modern Economy.
One, maybe. Is tech in there? Has that made the modern economy?
I think they're all tech. So it's interesting when we talk about tech that we've come to focus very much on computing, on digital innovation, but actually tech used to mean all kinds of things, from the internal combustion engine to the flush lavatory. So maybe we need a broader view of what tech is.
This is a property conference, obviously.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of chat around prop tech, and it's an industry that is ripe for an evolution, I suppose. It's very much a people-based industry at the moment. There's a lot of fear around AI and machine learning and this crazy thing people call blockchain, and that's going to completely take a middle group of people out of this industry. Do you think people should be worried about tech, or should they be embracing it?
I think people should always have a healthy paranoia about technology, but that generally means looking for opportunities to embrace it, because you can't stop it. So if you think back to the Luddites, we often think of the Luddites nowadays as, oh, they didn't get it. These are people who just didn't understand how cool technology was. No, the Luddites absolutely understood that new machine looms were going to put them out of work and favor people with different skills. They knew they were going to damage their livelihood, and they did damage their livelihoods. But the truth is, there was nothing they could do about it in the long run. So, tech can destroy jobs and it can damage people's livelihoods. There are always winners and losers. But if you want to be one of the winners, you've got to look for the opportunities.
And real estate is a big, provides a lot of money for the economy, certainly in this country and globally. It's a massive, massive business. If that is going to be disrupted or enabled by tech, is there anything out there that you think people should be learning about?
Well, the lesson I have learned looking at these 50 different inventions and what they did is that we often focus too much on the spectacular stuff, understandably. We think about the really complicated things, but very often the transformative technologies are transformative because they're simple and cheap. So things like the Billy bookcase, the Billy bookcase is not a miracle of technology. It's just super efficient, very easy to unpack, very easy to carry around, very easy to make, and so it's become ubiquitous. And a much older example of the same thing is paper. When we think about technological revolutions, people talk about the Gutenberg press. Yeah, an amazing technology, but useless without a cheap writing surface. And until paper came along, there was no point in having... you couldn't mass-produce writing and then have expensive, non-mass-produced surfaces to write on. So look for the simple stuff, look for the cheap stuff, because that is where the transformation often happens. And in real estate, my guess is it's going to be to do with sensors, basically. Cheap sensors everywhere, supplying data and allowing buildings to learn about what's going on inside them. That's the most obvious thing to me.
Oh, well, I'm going to go and have a look around if there's any sensors in Olympia here today.
Sure.
Thanks so much.
There is a sensor in everybody's pocket for several sensors.
You're
waving several sensors at me right now, and yeah, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
Big Brother is watching.
So there you go. You're welcome.
So Tim is the undercover economist, isn't he?
He wasn't very undercover. No, he wasn't wearing a cloak or any kind of sort of disguise that would make him be undercover.
That's a shame. Twirly moustache.
Really, and no. So, I mean, maybe he wasn't. Maybe that is his cover, that he looks like he's not undercover.
Hiding in plain sight.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should explain to Damien, he won't have got that "so there you go" reference. Unless, did you get the reference?
I did get the reference.
That means you do listen to our podcast.
Yes, and it's often capitalised upon afterwards when you discuss your own pet phrases.
Oh, we do that in the office, don't we? We have a little chat about everything that we say, and then we listen to ourselves in our podcast.
It's almost as if the week revolves around this podcast now.
You are welcome for being invited onto
the
show.
Thank you, I'm honoured.
So Damien, you're... you obviously listen to the Tech Talk podcast. You obviously play a very important role in this industry of ours. You're here today listening in. What have you picked up that people are talking about in tech?
In tech? I'm seeing a lot of familiar tech faces around the place. I think they're wondering...
Around aimlessly?
They're wondering...
It's not like you're about to say they're just wandering around.
They are. They're both wandering and wondering. And I think they're wondering whether they're able to convince some of the more traditional players here to embrace tech. And I think they're waiting until the weekend to evaluate that rather than judging it on the first morning. But the fact that they're exhibiting here, some of them, is a positive step. I can't think that that's happened before in the 3 years or so that it's been running.
Yeah, there's some great VR stuff knocking around today, isn't there?
I went in Le Pod.
Did you?
The BNP...
Le Pod.
Well, when it was French, it was Le Pod, and BNP Paribas introduced it to a MIPIM in France, but here in London Olympia, it's The Pod. Uh-huh. It's been rebranded. It was very exciting. You put the goggles on, you tour a commercial development, you tour a resi development, and then Fabrice says, you can sit back down on the chair now, and I couldn't see the chair, so that was a worrying moment, but it passed off without incident.
There's also Tottenham Hotspur are here, aren't they, showing you the new stadium with VR glasses, which we talked about actually with Mike Sherwood in a previous podcast, and he said it gave him a little bit of vertigo. Did you have any sort of untoward feelings in the VR room?
I didn't.
Untoward, that's not the right word, is it?
Asking someone if they had untoward feelings in the VR room suggests a certain element of
What's
VR that I don't think would be allowed here at
I'm not sure
UK.
What the word I mean is. Did you feel ill, I guess is what
I didn't
saying.
Feel ill. I have done it before. I did it recently at the Royal Festival Hall, where they put you in a box on like the fifth tier and you look down and you can't see your feet and you just see a big drop. And I did feel a bit untoward there, but not today.
And then, Emily, you've just hosted a session. Come on, what's wrong with my words today? That is the right word. You just hosted a session on the transformation.
It sounds like I was serving champagne. inviting people to play the piano. Chaired or hosted.
Chaired.
Hosted is fine.
Absolutely, thank you. So you were talking about the transformation of the age, and there was no mention, actually, of VR in that, which was maybe interesting.
I actually quite liked that, because it was a session very much about the surveyor and the agent and what everything. We talk a lot about what could come along to overthrow or transform the role of the surveyor. And what I really liked about the session that we had today was that people were talking very much about the impact on the surveyors themselves. And we had, you know, two of the panelists have been surveyors, who've either moved into tech, like Seb Abigail, who's now at BTS, or have their roles have transformed, like Rupert at GBA. And it was really good to hear from them how they've progressed and moved their role on in the industry. And then we had Tushar Agarwal from Hubble, who you know, he said to us in the past that they're out to decimate the agency world, and I did put that back to him on the panel, and he stuck by it, which was, you know, sort of a brave thing to do given the audience and everybody else there. And so there's definitely, on one hand, there is this push towards an evolution and a collaboration and the fact that it's not about jobs being lost, it's about jobs changing. But then you do have people like Hubble saying, yeah, also we want to come and eliminate all of you in one fell swoop, which Anthony Slumbers then said, you know, the winner does tend to take it all when it comes to tech, and there could well be two, you know, online platforms that wipe out the agency world.
Yeah, and he said, Tushar also said, you know, people forget the scale on which tech grows. Like, it might be very small now, but you, in a blink of an eye, it will absolutely consume.
Uber is, what, 7 years old?
Airbnb
is 10 years old.
Yeah,
these companies... People say, oh, well, you know, no one's just going to come from nowhere. But tech companies come from nowhere all the time. They really do. And they overthrow huge, thriving industries. I mean, the hotel market, you know, is a case in point. And Airbnb is now bigger than the three biggest hotel companies combined.
Yeah, and Accor bought One Fine Stay, so it could, you know, sort of compete with them. One of the other lines I liked in that, if I understood it, was I think it was Seb who said this. CDO is now the fastest route to CEO. What does CDO mean?
Chief Digital Officer.
Digital.
So I interviewed Cushman & Wakefield's US Chief Digital Officer. He's actually CDO and CIO, Adam Stanley. So he was financial services for years, and he worked for Aviva in London. He's from Chicago originally, and he's only been in real estate for 4 years. He was brought on board as somebody who watched the financial services industry be disrupted, and in his words, waste millions and millions and millions of dollars on getting it all completely wrong, basically, particularly on the data side. And he's been pulled in to run, to be the CDO and the CIO of Cushman & Wakefield. And he told me that the difference between those two job titles is really important. The CIO role is there to, you know, support the business and make sure that everybody is all up on what they should be doing right now, and also changing what's been done in the past and making sure it's all up to date. The CDO role is the transformation, forward-looking role. It's about making sure that the workforce are aware of things that could happen and are planning for trends that might happen so that they're not too late. And I think, as he said it, it's so his role is basically to make sure people don't miss the future. There you go.
Does that make one of you CIO, one of you CDO?
Which one of us is responsible for the future?
Well, that means only one of us will be chief executive.
Okay, well, I mean,
so
I'm
I
not
say
prepared
I'm
to go
CDO.
Damien.
Co-chief executive.
Co-CDO.
Co-CDO? Yeah.
Codo.
No,
I'm not gonna sell that out. Well, should we listen in to some of the points that were made during your hosted session?
Yes, let's do that.
Automation allows us to serve multiples of the time than we can at the moment. So the market's going to get much, much bigger. If you look at something like Uber, when Uber first did it, you can get it you can Google it, you can find Uber's first business plans, and they were talking about the size of the taxi market in San Francisco, and it was X, and everyone said, well, even if they got all of that, it's only worth £2.50 or something. In practice, the taxi market has grown by an order of magnitude, because there is suddenly this facility to be able to do something you couldn't have done before, where all the friction's been removed and the discovery of new things has been allowed. So I always think with real estate, there is so... We're sort of fundamentally...
There was fallout, though, from that, for the incumbents.
Well, not really, because they should be... You know, if this is a fantastic opportunity to grow your market. And frankly, it's not the computers you're in competition with, it's your peers. So... Certainly, if you get people who completely ignore all this, they're going to be in trouble. But for everyone else, A, there's lots of market share to be gained from the people who do ignore it. But I think also there's a massively bigger pie out there that we'll be able to service.
John?
No, I was just thinking you have to distinguish between individuals and companies. And I'm sure that some companies will falter along the way and won't adapt to the future. But that doesn't mean individuals can't, at whatever life stage, reskill, adapt, and move on. And I think that's absolutely right. You know, we have to think about technology generating new sources and forms of demand as well. Although one thing I would say is that I think any technology always generates unforeseen problems, that you know, and that will be coming along the road as well. And the other issue, of course, is that humans always have always find issues with whatever they're given.
So there you go.
Thank you. Doesn't sound quite right.
I think it sounds better when Damien does it. It has a level of gravitas that I just can't command.
Oh, that's not true.
Yes, we know it's true.
So we also heard from Rupert.
From GVA.
From GVA. Rupert Parker, sorry. And I talked to him because he was a bit... He didn't like the fact on that panel that people talked about agents' jobs being vulnerable. He was like, we need to stop using that vulnerable word because it's just a really a negative word. And so I asked, what word should we be using? Should we be describing the impact that tech has on real estate as adaptable? Do we need to be adaptable? Which he said yes. And talked a little bit more about how we need to capture what is going on in tech and really use that to the best ability in real estate.
So this is Sam McCurran here with Rupert. Rupert, you've just come off the stage here at MIPIM UK. We were talking about the transformation of the agent, but we were just saying it's actually more than just the agent. And I guess before we get into that, maybe could you tell us a little bit about you? You're at GVA.
That's
you've
right.
A very cool title.
I'm at GVA. I've been there for 7 years now. And throughout the course of being at GVA, I basically realized that there's a lot of advice that could be given to do with integrating technology in not only just the way that we work, but actually the way that our clients deliver properties and investors, developers, landlords. They can use technology to their advantage rather than be vulnerable, which is one of the words that popped up today. A lot of people were talking about, you know, the fact that their jobs are vulnerable, but that is almost very much the wrong thing to be looking at. That just indicates sort of a massive fear. And I think actually, you know, we should be embracing this and using technology to better buildings and user experience for people in buildings.
So what's the word you think we should be using? Is it adaptable or what?
Yeah, absolutely. Flexible and adaptable. And that's exactly what I advise my clients. I say, look, we've got to make this space as flexible as possible, because that is exactly what tenants want within buildings.
So at GVA, you've gone from being a director, an agent, to head of future-proofing, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So it was back in March. Basically, I had an idea. I was away in Bali for a month, and I thought, actually, there's
terrible.
I know, it was really hard. But I was away, and I just thought, hold on. I took a step back, and I thought, there's all this technological advances going on in consumer electronics, iPhones, and that's all based around user experience. And actually, why not try and apply that user experience to the property industry? And I mean, people like WeWork, you know, they do that incredibly well. Uber, CityMapper, they are the two apps which have completely revolutionized smartphones. You know, I think the trust that we now place in technology and consumer electronics is huge. I mean, 10 years ago, if you'd have said to anyone, you won't need to look at a map before you go somewhere, you just click on CityMapper and say, I will be there in 38 minutes. You know, it's fantastic. We've got to be able to use that now to within the property industry. And I think that's where a massive area of advice is capable of being given.
And how easy, I mean, that is a big transformation for people to go from, I'll look at my map to I'll just dial it into my phone and I will let my phone take me there rather than my own knowledge. Yep. and skill. I guess, is that really a transformation we want? Do we take away skill if we put all of our
I think the skills
phone?
Are going to change, and it's the ability to use that technology. And I think that trust and reliance on technology, we can learn something from that and think, actually, if we teach the technology well enough and using data and everything that we start to collect through the built environment, we can then advise our clients better. And that's where what it all comes down to is, you know, the job of the surveyor is not going to die. And I think that was, you know, one of the points that didn't really come up today. I think we are safe as long as we adapt and we use technology to help do our jobs.
And I guess the big question there is, how do we adapt and how easy is it for people to learn? And
well, that's the million-dollar question, you know. if everyone knew that, we'd all be making a lot of money. But I think it's just a case of, you know, companies, like at GVA, for instance, we spend a lot of time looking at innovation and just trying out new things without the fear of failing, because you look at tech companies, so many of them fail. But you know, you just need one good idea to completely transform an industry. And yeah, I mean, we had a chap on here from Hubble today, and his model is very interesting, very disruptive, and he was very clear about that when we were talking. But I think, yeah, we've got to learn as an industry that technology is coming, it will disrupt, but how can we advise on that disruption, or how can we use technology to make it less disruptive?
And that, it sounds like it's going to be interesting times again. Are you excited to see what will happen in the next 5, 10 years, maybe
yeah.
even months, I could say?
I'm going to sound like a massive geek when I say this, but you know, every morning I'm dead excited to come to the office and to speak to people. I mean, I'm meeting tech companies all the time and just chatting through things, whether or not they're related to real estate. And that's where I think the massive opportunities are, is you know, these boffins who are coming through and developing all these amazing tools in the technological world haven't really thought about the application within the real estate sector. And I think that is such a huge potential. And that's what gets me excited. I've got a magazine subscription to Wired now. Like, I never thought I'd be such a geek. But no, I'm loving it.
So there we go.
He's right.
It's actually, go.
I think Rupert's right to talk about not using the word vulnerable, because it sounds defensive. And sounding defensive and being defensive is what has held this industry back and will hold it back. And I think it's breaking out of that phase really constructively. So yeah, let's drop vulnerable.
And we'll talk more about that in the session we're looking at on making the most out of data, or finding value in data, which I think when the industry does talk about tech, at the moment what they really mean is data.
Yeah, I think yes, and other things, but I agree that the headline at the moment is sort of very data orientated, and it was in the States, and it will be here. And I think that different countries are at different. I mean, actually, one of the things that was said at New York Real Estate Tech Week, pretty much one of the first things, was that you know the data laws over here are, I think the quote was, totally ridiculous. So, I mean, there's various different stages in different countries, and it'll be interesting to see how it progresses.
And with GDPR, it might get even harder to collect or keep data.
Well, I am certainly jazzed to come along to that session. Is that the correct use of that word?
I have no idea.
Shall I explain that very quickly? For anyone that doesn't listen regularly, I only ever say the words excited or interesting, and I was tasked to go out to New York and come back with a new word. And somebody on a podcast said, I am so jazzed about that. So I decided that I was going to adopt it as my own. But it doesn't work.
Not with your accent.
Not with my accent, no. So there you go.
So there we go.
Is that the official and formal wrap-up?
For this part, I believe it might be. There will be more interviews, so keep listening in, because they'll come up now.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for joining us.
Okay, so this is Sam McClary and
Emily Wright,
both from EG. We are here with
Kevin Cardona, Head of Innovation for BNP Paribas Real Estate.
Head of Innovation, which is that we're in a very innovative pod here, very green, but yeah. Very innovative pod. Could you explain to our listeners where we are?
Well, we are in the pod, which is the first furniture integrating VR technology, virtual reality. And what we can showcase is actually the first VR platform for real estate. The idea here is to be able first to visit any real estate building anywhere in the world and to showcase and immerse yourself in this future building very easily, integrating the technology very immersive with the sound, with the view and everything. So it's a totally fluid experience to visit assets.
So Emily and I have just had a little go. We're both a bit, we've never done it before, have
shaky.
We? So a little shaky.
Yeah,
a little
you managed it better than me. I look like a 9-year-old being overwhelmed at a birthday party. Couldn't cope.
We did grab hold of each other, which was like children.
I
but
ended up on a balcony, which I wasn't anticipating, you see. So balcony, I just wasn't ready for that. But it was a lovely view.
Yeah.
How have people reacted so far? You've obviously had quite a few through here already this morning, I would imagine.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, what I like is, like, you talk about a childish response. What I like here is the way we imagined teleportation when we were kids. And we actually delivered it. And that's what is quite interesting with the whole concept of the pod, is the fact that we created a physical furniture. Because when you actually put the mask on, the headset, the VR headset on, what you see is actually the pod. And you see the walls of the pod fall down and teleport yourself in a new experience, which is very important, which is what we call mixed reality. The fact that you are sitting on your chair here and teleport yourself with your chair. Yeah. Yeah, you have to try it by just sitting on the chair. You always have the chair with you, you see the model. It's a very interactive way to use virtual reality between physical reality and virtual reality, which is what we call mixed reality, which is really interesting.
And can you talk us through the application for you as BNP Paribas Real Estate and how you're using this with clients?
So the idea here is, what we didn't say is that the pods are connected together. So we have a pod in Paris, where we will have a pod in London, in UK, and soon in Hong Kong. I will give you a very pragmatic example. We are realizing a residential building in Covent Garden in London, and some of our clients are actually in China. What's interesting with the pod is that they can enter a pod in Hong Kong and visit a building in the UK with a developer in Paris, and together they can visit an asset that doesn't exist yet in London. So the first thing is to connect with people from distant places to visit pieces of real estate. The other use case, which is interesting, is for companies. I can visit my future headquarters, and I can make a management and design home staging, I would say, for office, to imagine how my future office will look like. So it's a very powerful tool to cope with the lack of our imaginations, basically. And everybody tells you, I can project myself in a 2D plan. Never, nothing is worth a real immersive experience.
And how are that Chinese investor, yeah, talking to your development guy in Paris, looking at something in London? Yeah. How has he reacted to that? Has he been, or she, I should say, been like, whoa, I that's a little bit too out there for me. I want to see the brochure. Or are they excited about it?
You actually come out the experience with the brochure. So you still have all the existing tools of marketing. Here we add just the experience, which is important for a foreigner investor, is to be able to visit 10 assets in 1 hour. And when he actually come to London, or actually come physically to Paris, he can actually visit the one or two he pre-selected. So basically, clients receive it, welcome it quite nicely, because they save a lot of time.
And so do you think this is the future of real estate?
I think within 5 to 10 years, all real estate assets will have to be visitable by virtual reality.
And so would you buy a house or fit out a new headquarters via VR?
Actually, some already do. And we already saw some transactions totally digital. So I think it will be a key step in the customer journey.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for letting us play.
Yes, thank you very much.
And I hope lots of other people come through and have a walk around Paris as well as us.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you. Thank you.